Amen. Good job, Miss Janet. Here you go. That a girl. Y'all give her one more big round of applause. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. The kids and the youth going out today, correct? All right. On the count of three. Don't just run yet. On the count of three, we're going to ease out of here. And we're going to give them a big round of applause as they ease out of here. One, two, three. Kids and youth dismissed. Well, so Corey, when he preached a couple of weeks ago, he preached on Hebrews. And when he got through, he said, the ministers that preach here, I want them to preach on faith too. So after he got through, me and Howdy were talking, because Howdy knew he was going to preach next week. He said, he preached my message. Howdy said that last week. Well, I told Howdy that morning, he talked, I said, well, if that was your message, then both of y'all going to preach mine. Because in December, I'd been studying and God had put it on my heart about faith. To talk about faith. That's how good the Holy Spirit is, y'all. And that's how in tune our pastor is with the Holy Spirit. To be led to minister about faith and want the other ministers at our church to do the same thing. Howdy had already got the message and I had too. Now, I can't speak for Rusty, but I didn't mean that bad. Y'all took that wrong. No. Now, see, some of y'all trying to get me in trouble. But the Lord laid this message on my heart and Corey took off. I'm like, well, and then Howdy last week. And I'm like, well, okay, God, thanks. You know? So the Lord said, this is what I want you to bring out this week. So are y'all ready? Okay. Guess where we're going to start? Hebrews 11. Y'all find Hebrews 11. Ooh, thank you, Father. Praise you, Lord. God is so good. I mean, when we get a hold of the Word, I can speak for myself. See, that's what we're supposed to do, is speak for ourselves. And if we testify and we witness to people, they wonder, oh my, how are you always so happy? How are you always... Because I have the joy of the Lord. Amen. Life don't mess me up no more. It did. But you know what? It doesn't anymore. Because y'all seen that commercial, I got milk. I got Jesus, baby. That's a lot better than milk. Milk. Anyway. All right, everybody find Hebrews. If you're there, say amen. All right. If you hadn't, just be quiet. No. Kidding. Chapter 11, verse 1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's what Corey started with. He started about, that's the definition of faith. Last week, Howdy's talking about now is now. That now faith is now. And he talked to us about some of the things that he talked to his kids about. So God said, let's look at verse 3. Verse 3 says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Everybody say Word. So that the things which are seen... Listen to that again. Though the things that which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now, if you think about that, that's kind of like, hmm. So the things that we see now were made from things that we didn't see. Amen? Now, because what's going on in the world right now, if you use and rely on our sight and our eyes, it'll mess you up. Amen? If you look at everything that's going on in the world and you view it only through your eyes, it's going to mess you up. I read about a guy, a World War II veteran, and I told this story that I had read about 4 or 5 years ago in one of my sermons, but as I was going back through stuff, it was a perfect example, but it's not in the same context I used it before. There was a World War II pilot that had been shot down in enemy territory. Nobody around. He didn't know what to do. But he found a bunch of caves. And he crawled in this cave. And he was hiding. And he was praying. He'd been praying for about a day or so. He could hear the enemy coming. They were checking every cave. And that vet's going, man, come on, God, do something. They're coming. They're coming. And he's sitting there in that cave. And there's a spider. And this spider starts building a web over the front of that cave. And that pilot's going, that's all you're sending me, God? Is a spider? I need help. I need help. So he goes on to tell the story. That spider spun that web. And when the enemy came by, they go, oh, we don't have to check in here because there's a spider web over the cave and it's not been disturbed. And they kept going. He got away. Oh, thank you. And he thanked God for it. You see, his eyes just looking at that spider were like, thanks a lot, God. God ever send you something sometime and you're going, oh, wow, that's all you got? Or am I the only one? So I thought. Yeah. You ask for some help, God sends you something, and it's like, really? That's it? But that's where God's talking about in this verse 3, that things were made that we see now that came from something that we couldn't see before. Amen? So we have to stop relying on our sight. We have to quit allowing our eyes to be confused. See, that's what the devil likes. The devil likes us to look at what's going on in the world and get us messed up. And then our faith starts dwindling away. Amen? Verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Whoo, Jesus. Have y'all ever thought about not pleasing God? Man, that body, I mean, when you stop and think about, did I just do something that didn't please God? That bothers me. That keeps me trying to always do the right thing. And yeah, we mess up, and thank God for grace and mercy. But it says right here, without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently, everybody say diligently, seek him. Say seek him. That's right. If we're constantly seeking him, then guess what happens to our faith? Our faith does this, y'all. Keeps going up and up. I wrote this down. Faith is taking God at his word willingly and obediently. You know what? When God's trying to get something to us, why don't we start taking him at his word? It's just like that little spider in that story I just told. See, that pilot was not necessarily taking that as that was God's word. And it was. But when we have faith that we are diligently seeking God, he's a rewarder of our faith. And we're not going to... God's not going to be proud of his kids. Man, you remember growing up that when your parents and you did something to hurt them, not intentionally, but you remember how it hurt you when you let your parents down or you let somebody down that was close to you? See, that's something I can't even imagine is letting God down. And that's what he's telling us is here, is without faith, it is impossible to please him. So as Corey talked about getting back to the basics of our faith, and Howdy talking about now faith, Romans tells us that God gave us the same measure of faith. That means that he gave me no more or no less than he did Danny, or that he did Betsy, or he did Angela, or Kenny. We all got the same amount. See, because Jesus same yesterday, today, and forever, right? He doesn't change. He's no respecter of persons. So that means that Roger got just as much as I did. But if you look around sometime and you see things happening to people and you go, why do they always get the good stuff? You know? Or I've had the bug for 2 weeks and they had it for 2 days, or they didn't ever get it. It doesn't mean they're special. However, some of us like to think God likes us more than others. No, I'm just kidding. But that's the way that we should believe. If you have the faith like that, shouldn't you believe that I'm His favorite? Yep. Amen. I mean, I want to be His favorite. He's got some good stuff. He will take care of me. He will heal me. He will prosper me. He will make my relationships all wonderful. Don't you want that? Then what happens? Why does so-and-so have more faith than I do? Why does it, or me, have more faith than whoever? What is the process that happens that you see that? Anybody ever go, I ponder that? Two of you. Okay, that's good. I'm going to preach to y'all then. When God gives out the same measure of faith, our God is a faith God. Amen? So that's the one of the basic things we have to get a hold of, is our God is a faith God. You see, in Genesis 1, in the very beginning, He spoke. He said, see, this is where we're going today. He said, see, God spoke everything before He did it. Genesis 1:3 says, He said, let there be light. He didn't go, that's light. No, that's not what God did. God said, let there be light, and then there was light. You said, He spoke it into existence. In verse 26, it said, and He said, let's make man in the image of us. And then He made man. They made man. Do you see where I'm going with this? You see, God doesn't flip a switch and then He tells you what He did. No. He tells you what He's going to do, and then He does it. It's your spoken word that builds your faith. Amen? What are you saying? What have you ever listened to yourself talk? I mean, I don't know about y'all, but ministering, playing music, talking over a mic. I've talked over a microphone for, I'm 60 years old, so I've been doing it for about 50 years. And there's times when I say something, and I've learned to listen to myself, and I hate listening to myself. I do. I'm going to tell you. Because I listen to my voice, and I go, oh, golly, or, you know, but I've been doing it a long time. And I listen to myself and go, why did I say that? When I say something, we have to learn, the only way that we get better at our faith is start listening to what's coming out of your mouth. Because if you're not listening to what's coming out of your mouth, then you're saying just anything you want to say. Right? And then people look at you like, did they just really say that? You see? Because Word says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the... Everybody say Word. Word, that's right. So when we start getting a hold of the spoken Word, we start controlling a little bit of where we're going. Okay? Because everybody, and Ian Corey's preached this in here. God, everybody goes, oh, God's in control. God's done what He's going to do. It's our job to put that into action. I mean, God put the Word right here. He tells us what to do. He tells us what to do. But if you don't start doing it, then you're not putting God's Word, the truth, into action. And then you sit around trying to warm your chair, figuring out, why does somebody else have more faith than I do? And it starts right here. Ephesians tells us, in Ephesians 5, tells us to be followers of God. Now, if you look at the Amplified, and I like the Amplified, what it says to be imitators of God, to copy Him. to copy him. Well, wait a minute. So I just got through telling you that God is a faith God, right? And that he spoke everything before he did it, right? Well, then we know Jesus did it. But then if the word says we're supposed to be imitators of that, why hadn't most of us got a hold of that yet? He's telling us right here to be imitators, and it says that he spoke everything into existence. And it came from the stuff we couldn't see that we can see now. Isn't that cool? I mean, y'all ought to think about this. Man, God's word is so good. And when you ponder on it, it's like, wow. The Holy Spirit will show you if you'll get in the word and you'll think about it and meditate on it. I'm telling you. I'm going by my notes a little more today because I wrote quite a bit down because the Holy Spirit gave me some good stuff and I don't want to leave it out. Proverbs 6. You don't have to turn there, but I'm going to tell you what it says. It says, thou art snared by your mouth. Now we know what snared is. It's caught, right? You build a trap, you catch something with the snare. But I liked what the Amplified says, and it says that we are caught by the speech of our mouth. Now, this morning as I was studying, I thought, I wonder what speech means in the Hebrew. And I looked it up. And this one got me. It means the truth. Yeah. It means the truth. So what that's telling us is that we are caught by the truth of our mouth. Well, okay. What's coming out of your mouth? Are you speaking the truth? What is the truth? Come on, church. The Bible, the Word. That's the truth, the way and the life, the Word. So what are you speaking out of your mouth? Because you're caught by the speech of your mouth. Whoa. In Proverbs 18, it says, and this is interesting, I didn't find much, but it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And it says death first, and that I never did really, the Holy Spirit just never really, but I think that because of it giving death first, it wants us to choose life. That's what the Word says, it wants to choose blessing and not cursing. And some of y'all have heard me tell y'all about my great-granddad. My great-granddad is the one I inherited fiddle playing from. He died he didn't die. He went to heaven. And he was 102 years old when he passed. He was not sick. He was sane. He knew everybody. This is what he spoke. He always told as a kid I was growing up, and he always told my mom, he said, it was my dad's granddad, but he told mom when they got married, I'm going to live to be 100 years old and I'm just going to go to sleep and go to heaven. I'm done. We lived to be 102. And on a Sunday evening, they called us and said, and I was 25. I mean, it's really cool to live that, to be old enough to really enjoy your great granddad. And I did. He was a good man. Couldn't read or write. Born in 1884. He could tell you some stories too, I'm telling you. I loved it. But Grandpa on that Sunday night said, y'all need to call everybody. He's trying to make him eat in a nursing home. He said, I'm 102 years old. He said, I'm tired and I'm not going to be here tomorrow. I'm going to be in heaven. So if anybody wants to say goodbye tonight, you better tell them to call or come by because I ain't going to be here in the morning. Y'all guess what? Monday morning, he wasn't here no more. That's what Proverbs 18 tells us, y'all. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Do you realize how strong your tongue really is now? We don't think about those. You know, when we were kids, we always heard, sticks and stones may break our bones, but words will never hurt us. Bull. I'm just saying. That's bull. Because words, you know, the one thing, it may hurt somebody else, but you're hurting yourself when you start speaking the wrong thing. Amen. You want to be careful who you speak to and let somebody speak over you. because they may not speak what you believe. And I don't want anybody speaking that junk over me. Amen? I'm telling you. Spoken words. Wait, I got, sorry, Holy Spirit. Okay, so there's somebody, maybe more than one of you, and I'm not going to ask you to stand up or anything, but I'm going to tell y'all. The Holy Spirit, there, and this has bothered me all week. So I know there's somebody definitely here having something. So if you're struggling with an addiction, whether it's alcohol, tobacco, pornography, whatever, if you're struggling with an addiction, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to finish telling you what my grandpa said. And then the rest of this message will help you. My great grandpa, he dipped Red Rooster snuff on one side and he chewed Brown's Mule on the other side at the same time. And he started when he was about 5 or 6 years old, he told me. And I come in one day, he lived in a little house out behind my grandma's, and I went up there to see him. There was no spit cans. It was all gone. "What's up, Grandpa?" He said, "I quit." "You quit?" 92 years old. He quit in one day. Now, so the Holy Spirit's been saying somebody needs to hear this. Because, and so I ask him. Because, you know, that's one thing that we always should seek knowledge and wisdom. So here's a man 92 years old quit dipping and dipping and chewing at the same time. That's amazing. And it's, and my grandma, my great grandma dipped snuff too. So it was, you know, that's just what they did. I said, "Grandpa, how did you do this?" He said, "Well," he said, "I got tired of it. I've been doing it almost 90 years anyway." That's true, Grandpa. I get it. He said, "But Ricky," he said, "honestly," he said, "if a person wants to do something, they can do it. But you have to have that want to." Okay? So whoever's struggling right now with an addiction that says, "Well, I just can't do it." I just told you of a 92-year-old man that quit in one day. Okay? So yes, you can do it. You can do it in the name of Jesus. So when you start learning how to use the spoken word and start speaking over that situation that you're trying to break or get rid of, then you will have success. You see, spoken words program your heart for success or failure. Words build your faith or it tears it down. Faith takes you to the next level of faith. Now, when I was reading Kenneth Copeland's book, Faith to Faith, and when I read that, I thought, and it made sense. When you start believing for something and your faith starts growing, then you went from this level of faith to this level of faith. Everybody understand? And then when you're at this level of faith, got a little more confidence. See, because that's what faith is. I think you mentioned that last week about confidence. And it's your confidence that builds your, that your faith keeps moving. So that the next level, when you're trying to get through something else, and you do with God's help, because God gave you a way to get through it, your faith level comes up here. So you see, if you're not moving from faith level to faith level to faith level, then what's coming out of your mouth? Because what you're speaking can shut down everything you're believing for. I've seen it happen. Y'all flip to Mark 11 real fast. Oh man, we got plenty of time. What does Corey say? Dallas don't play till 3:30, so. Amen. Let's go to Mark chapter 11. Because we talked about what God said, that He spoke everything before He did it. Right? Have you ever, if you ever listen to somebody, like they come in and your wife's in the kitchen cooking and you go in and say, "Hey baby, I'm going to run to town." And then what do? You go get in your car and you go to town. So you actually spoke what you were going to do before you did it. See, we already have a basis of that to start with if we learn how to start using it in the right way. Because we do that. Hey, you ever caught yourself doing that? You tell your kids, "I'm fixing to whip you." right? I mean, we tell them, I'm going to whip you. And then sometimes parents do and some parents don't. I don't know. We did. I got plenty of them. That's for another day. Okay, Mark 11, verse 23. And this is a scripture that most of us have heard, and we use this, a lot of ministers will use it here, but, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain," now, Jesus just said, whoever will say. He didn't say, whoever will wave at that mountain. I mean, you can wave at it, but you still, it's not going to react if you don't say to that mountain, "Be thou removed." He's telling it what to do. "Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall now not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." Amen. What are you saying? What are you saying? See, because if we don't say in the right way, like you say, oh, well, you hear somebody go, oh, I think I'm taking a cold. Well, guess what's going to happen to them? I've seen it over and over. You see people go, I think I'm getting sick. Quit speaking that. And some of you know, Ricky has a pet peeve. I hear this. We've laid hands on people, prayed over them. You go, how you feel? Well, I'm healed, but boy, my knee still hurts. You just negated everything that you said. You stop and think. Man, I feel great, but my knee hurts. No, that's not how you say it. You say, my knee still hurts, but I'm healed in Jesus' name. You see, you have to call those things that are not as though they are. I wrote this down. I've been reading a book by Charles Capps. And for those of you who don't know, he's got some great books. I think we've got some in the book room back there. But he's real big on what you say. Listen to what he wrote. "Your words are shaping the unseen." Now think about that. Your words are shaping the unseen. See, in Matthew it says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what we say now is going to shape what you can't see right now. When you start speaking, oh, I'm going to have a terrible time at that deal, and blah, 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 and then you get there, and guess what? You have a terrible time. Amen? Why are we speaking that? Why are we speaking the opposite of what the Word tells us to say? Oh, I'm a victim. You know, and I see people, bless their heart, I love, our Christians are good people. But as we grow, we have to learn to shake things off. And one of those things is that as you grow as a Christian, from baby Christian to middle Christian to meat Christian, as they call it, people have to get rid of the victim mentality. I see it over and over and over. Because as long as you're professing those things, guess what? You're going to have them. I'm broke. I'm disgusted. I'm mad. I'm angry. My kids did this. My car broke down. Yes, I know that those are bad things. My dog and my wife run off and left me. Yeah, it's a country song. That's what they say, right? But when we learn to quit doing that, then instead of a victim, we're a victor. You know, and we use this a lot. Be the head and not the tail. You know, when I first started going to church, I thought the pastor was making that up. I thought, well, I don't want to be the tail, but it's in the Word, y'all, but I'm not going to tell you where it is. You can go find it. You need to. You need to know where these scriptures are at, because that is the Word. And wouldn't you rather be the head and not the tail? So you don't want to speak, oh, I'd rather be the tail than not the head. Y'all ever been around a horse's tail before? Or a cow? Ooh, Jesus. Just think about that. it stinketh a lot. And there's lots of flies. Right, Rusty? He ranches. He knows about cows. Everything that you say is a seed. What you're saying right now, that seed that you sow, is changing the unseen. So as you're sowing a seed, you're going to change what we see now to what you want to see. See, that's what's wrong with our country right now. But here's the deal. I admit, I'm guilty. So you can't get mad at, well, you can, but I'm admitting, I'm one of them that's said it. My Lord, our country's going down, man, this and that and the other. I'm speaking what I'm seeing, y'all. That's not how we're going to change our country. I'm just telling you. We got to start speaking what we want to see and quit buying into what the devil's trying to get us to buy into. Amen? I don't agree with what's going on, but our country will be back to a godly nation, and it will be under one God, our God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, y'all. But it's up to us to start doing that. You see, when we're sitting around a coffee shop, I don't go to a coffee shop anymore, but when you guys sit around a coffee shop, yeah, that president we got, he ain't worth spit, you know? And they talk about, well, the economy. You know, there are things that we don't like. I admit it. I agree. But it's just like what I just got through talking about. It's okay to say, you know, our country's not real good right now, but my Jesus can take care of it. He supplies all of our riches according to glory, His glory, man. What are we saying? Are we saying that our country stinks? Or are we going to start saying our God is bigger than any junk that we got? Amen? Why don't we start doing that? Why don't we start? Yeah, my dad called it a pity party when I was a kid. You know, when I wasn't happy about things, he goes, well, just go into your room and waller in that pity party. Waller, that's a West Texas word. That's what a lot of our country's doing right now, y'all. And I really don't get a lot political, but that's coming out. That the Holy Spirit's like, man, this is what's wrong with the country. We have to start speaking the right thing over our country, y'all. We got to quit buying into whatever people are wanting us to see. That's because they're showing us only what they want us to see. And they want us to be saying those things. Hey, thank God for... political announcement, though. Thank God for the Supreme Court upheld those. I'm just saying. See, when we start, man, have you, because I know some of us in here have been speaking over that, and we've been praying over that, that they see the right thing and do the right thing. So that's how we change the unseen, is by how we're praying and what we're speaking over that. Because I do know people that have been praying over that. And y'all may have too. But we have. We've been speaking to, it affects way too many people. What are you speaking? What are you speaking? It will change your life. It won't change it if you just do it once or twice, though. You know, well, I tried that yesterday and it didn't really work. Okay. I'm sorry. It worked for me. It took me about a year or so to get the hang of this, and it's still, every now and then, I'll be honest with you, every now and then something comes out that probably shouldn't. And my wife reminds me of that fact. She's not here, I can say that. But it's true. Because, see, everybody needs an accountability partner. I'm serious. You know, you need, it's like Rusty and I talk some. And he doesn't necessarily agree with, I mean, when I'm like, oh, well, man, this or this. But he always has something good to say. You need somebody that in your life. You need somebody that doesn't just go, oh, you're so right. Your husband, he's just a jerk. And he's, yes. You know, when you ladies like to vent about your husband, you don't need a friend that agrees with you. I'm telling you. You need a friend that'll tell you the truth. So when you have, who are you hanging around? Oh, who do you call? Instead of going, God, I got a problem. Or you call a friend that you know is not going to just agree with what you want. And they'll tell you the truth. Rusty's nice about it. You know, that is the good thing. But me and him visit, and because he and I bounce things off each other, he helps me. So you need somebody to keep your mouth in the right lane. And believe me, my wife does that a lot. But we are all human, okay? But this isn't about human. We're fighting spirit, y'all. And we have to learn that, is our word lined up fleshly or spiritually? You better start lining your word up spiritually, because that's what it's going to take in these end times. To build your faith, to build now faith, to have it right now, you better start speaking it now. Speak it now. Y'all flip to John 11. I'm getting close. Maybe. No, I really am. John chapter 11. So some of y'all go, well, how does this really work? Because that's what we do. It's like Howdy said, don't take my word for it. You go home and you study and you do your own investigation. I'm going to lead you and show you what the Holy Spirit showed me. Then it's up to you to find out how you're supposed to use it in your life. Amen? So the Holy Spirit showed me, we got to give them an example of what Jesus did. So chapter 11. This is where Lazarus, his sisters had sent word to Jesus that he was sick. So let's start in verse 4. When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Well, so, perfect example of what we're talking about. They say he's sick, but Jesus hadn't even seen him yet. You know, they didn't have cell phones back then with FaceTime. Hey, Lazarus, man. They didn't do that back then. So, but he's already speaking to change the unseen. He's saying, this sickness is not to death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Amen? So this is what I'm trying to get y'all to see. It's right here in the Word. Jesus did it. He's changing the unseen before it ever happens. Now, let's move on down. Let's go to verse 11. "These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep." He's speaking to change the unseen. Let's read on. Verse 14. This is a little different, and I'm going to explain this. Because the disciples were talking about, oh, he just rests, so that'll do him a good job. But Jesus has to stop them right there. Verse 14. "Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead." Now, that threw me off for a little bit. And I prayed over that, and the Holy Spirit showed me, in the first place, what's happening right here is Jesus is trying to teach the disciples how to do what we're talking about. So he tells them that he's dead. However, if you look up that word dead in the Greek, it means died. Well, didn't Jesus die, but he rose from the dead? He died, but he still lives. That's what that means in the Greek. It means died. Okay? And so what we have to look at is that Corey has talked about dead in Christ. That's the fleshly dead. We're talking about a spirit. Okay? So don't get bogged down in something like that. Jesus has a purpose for how he's using this. Listen. Verse 15. "And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go on." He's telling that. He said, I'm glad that you didn't know yet, because you need to see what's fixing to happen. He's speaking to change the unseen. Amen? Okay, let's go to verse 23. "Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again." He's still not seen Lazarus. He's still not there. But what's he doing? His words will change the unseen. Everybody with me? All right. Verse 24, Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. You see, he's speaking that word to change the unseen. Everybody say unseen. Verse 26, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And then he poses the question, do you believe? Let's jump to verse 40. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Who? See, he's telling her, I've been telling you this. I've been setting this up for 4 days. I've been speaking with my word what's fixing to happen. 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. Now listen to what Jesus does right here though. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. He still hasn't looked in that tomb yet. He told him to roll the stone away. But now, before he looks, he's thanking God that he's heard him for the last 4 days. Jesus knows God heard him. But Jesus is doing this to teach the disciples that you start speaking over the unseen to change it. Amen? 42, and I knew that thou hearest me always. Jesus just said, I know you hear me. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Jesus says in 43, Lazarus, come forth. And what happened? Lazarus came forth. You see, he set the whole thing up 4 days before this happened. Why don't we start setting up our unseen every day? Amen? It's up to us, y'all. It's up to what's in your mouth and what comes out of your mouth. And if you start putting this word in your mouth, then what comes out of it will change the things that you haven't seen yet. I don't even know who I heard say this, but you're starting to speak the results instead of the circumstance. Amen? You're not speaking that I'm sick and beat up. And you start speaking that I'm healed by your stripes in Jesus' name. That I prosper. I'm not broke. I prosper because of my Jesus. Amen? So you have to start speaking the right way. Start using what God teaches us. Change the seen to the unseen. You can do it. Amen? With every head bowed and every eye closed. We never do a service here without giving you an opportunity to accept Jesus. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, today is the day. Today is the day to start having that knowledge that you have that faith that God sent His only Son to die for you and for me. Don't wait another day. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, now is the time. We don't do anything crazy here. If you've never accepted Jesus, we're going to say a prayer right where you sit. But we're also going to have the believers say it with us. Because this is a time when everybody needs to be leading people to Jesus, y'all. So the believers need to get this prayer in their hearts. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want you to say this prayer out loud. But as I said, you're not going to say it by yourself. We're going to have believers say it with you. So out loud, say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart and I ask you to come in and save me. I believe that Jesus died and was resurrected for me. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. Father, I thank you for filling me with the God-like faith. In Jesus' name. Now before you lift your head and open your eyes. If you just accept that prayer for the first time and you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior today, we're not going to have you come up to the front or anything, but right where you sit, on the count of three, I'm going to ask you just to put your hand up and then put it right back down. We want to get you a Bible. In that Bible is a card just put on there that today was your God day, that you're saved. And we'll, if you want to talk to somebody, then we'll be happy to visit with you. Never be afraid to acknowledge Jesus before man, because that's what the Word says. If you acknowledge me before man, I'll acknowledge you before the Father. So on the count of three, I want you to get that hand up real quick and then put it right back down. One, two, three. Anybody? Be bold if that was you. All right, everybody look here. Now it's our job to start getting some people here, and let's get them saved up, y'all, because we need it in today's time. Amen? Come on up, Patrick.
Come on. Yes. Hot mic. Here it is. Thank you. Thank you, Ricky. Would y'all please honor him one more time? Yes. So good. You know, I was talking to my daughter the other day, and she was asking me how to spell the, she was talking about, what's that word you said, Dad? And I said, integrity. She goes, how do you spell that? And I said, listen, this is a word you need to master. You need to learn it. It has to do with showing up on time, being a good person, walking in righteousness, blah, 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 blah. So as I'm sitting over there thinking, I'm thinking, faith is the exact same way. Learn to spell it. Learn to use it. Learn to work it. I mean, if we know how to do everything else and work our phones and work our businesses and promote our businesses, faith works the exact same way. We put up posters to promote our business. We put things on Facebook to promote our business. Faith is the exact same way. You put up words in front of you. That's what the word is. It works. If you'll work it and you'll put, faith without works is dead. You can have faith, but if you ain't working it, it's just dead. It's in the tomb. It's got a rock rolled in front of it, just like Lazarus. It don't work. So put the words in front of you. I always tell people, if you're struggling with something, get scripture. Put them on your mirror in front of the bathroom. We spend so much time in front of the mirror, right? Don't we? We spend so, I mean, I see kids all the time. They'll turn their Chrome, they'll open their Chromebooks and they'll turn on the camera and they'll flip it around. They'll look at it and they'll fix their eyes and fix their, I'm like, we've turned Chromebooks and laptops into mirrors. You spend so much time in there. It's good to have the word in front of you so you can see it. I mean, if we can promote physical, tangible products, then we can promote faith in ourselves. Yes. She got what? She needs to speak faith today. You got words of faith to say? Is that what you're talking about? Is that what you're asking? I couldn't understand what you're asking. You got some words to say?
The last 2 weeks, I have been short of breath and sick and cannot breathe, couldn't walk, and I'm healed. I can take a breath for the first time in 2 weeks. Woo! Yeah.
You feel better? Good. So, health is something everybody has dealt with. Health problems. You know, it's okay to be faithful. It's easy to be faithful when you feel good. It's when you don't feel good. It's like Ricky was saying, God, I could stand up here and talk all day, and I'm not going to. I promise. But I'd love to confirm and add to what he's saying. That's what I'm trying to say. Your health. I've heard ministers say this. If you don't take care of yourself, you can't take care of others. You have got to take care of yourself. Body, the Bible says that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Take care of it. Feed it the right things. Put faith in it. Work it. Work it. Work it. Keep your health. You got to keep your health. You got to stay healthy. I know there's a virus out there trying to kill you, but like I said last week, we ain't dead yet. We ain't dead, and I can stand up here and talk all day. I hear all these things all week. It's not a pandemic, it's an endemic. That's what they said. They're getting closer to the endemic. So y'all still keep working your faith when you leave here? Work it. When you're at your job, when you're at home, when you sit down and eat, feed yourself right, take care of yourself, it only gets better from here for us. All the atheists, it gets worse for them, but for us, it gets better. Amen? Oh, man, it's so good. Y'all, we have any announcements, right? Anything? Okay. Before y'all leave here, if y'all been going here long enough, y'all know that, you know, Ricky don't take a salary. He does so much here. He gets here, you know, and like he said, they were having church long before we ever got here this morning. He runs the music. He ministers. He's got a heart for God. Find somebody to give to. And I would urge you to give to Ricky today. This bucket right here is for him. So if you're new here, a lot of you guys know how to do this, but if you're new here and you'd like to bless him, he doesn't take a salary here. So if you'd like to get a tax receipt, get one of the envelopes, put Ricky Bowen Ministries on it, put your address on there. I get envelopes sometimes and they don't have addresses on them. If you want a tax receipt, put your address on there, put your name and address, so that Ricky can get you a tax receipt at the end of the year. So it's Ricky Bowen Ministries. If you'd like to give to him, this bucket right here is specifically for him. If you haven't brought your tithes and offerings, you can bring those and still put them in those buckets, but this one right here is specifically for him. So y'all just have a heart to give and bless him. He is such a, he's a blessing to this church, what he does through music. I would love to be able to play an instrument like that. I've always said that, but I've never devoted the time. And my friends, that's where it happens. You gotta devote the time to learn how to play the instruments. Amen. Y'all stand to your feet and we'll get out of here. We'll pray and get out. So y'all come give after, when we dismiss. Father, we love you. Thank you for a wonderful day. We're so honored that you're in our presence, Lord. We're so thankful. And we glorify your name. Glory to God in the highest. You are the God that's above all. You are our provider. You walk wherever we go and you're with us. You love us and you care for us and we're just glad that you do. Thank you for sending your son to die for us. And thank you for teaching us how to take better care of ourselves, Lord. In these end times when viruses are everywhere, danger is everywhere, you put your angels around us and protect us. And we're so thankful for that, Lord. We give you so much praise, honor, and glory because you're worthy of honor in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You're dismissed. Big round of applause. Don't forget to come.